Oasis Audio presents September Girl by Katherine Lee Scott, read for you by the author. Chapter 1. Felix streaked across my path, his ebony fur bristling in the wintry blast from the open door. Jake, a step behind, bumped against me as the cat leapt to his customary perch in the bay window of the restaurant. Oh, tonight of all nights. I leaned into Jake. You think it's an omen? Always. That's his job, Livy. But I've appeased him by ordering their best Bordeaux. Jake had already called ahead to have Alain, the chef and owner of the bistro, decant a bottle of Saint-Estèphe. Felix, his work done, lay curled in cat-like indifference on a well-worn cushion. But on a night when tidings of disaster ruled the universe, a black feline crossing my tracks left a sense of foreboding hard to shake. I slipped off my coat and took comfort in the fragrant warmth of the restaurant. If Jake and I were to enjoy a last meal on Earth, there was no place better than our favorite corner table at Le Chat Noir, a family-owned bistro in Greenwich Village. That was our plan for the eve of the new millennium, January 1st, 2000. The day that life as we'd lived it would abruptly change, if not end altogether. For the better part of a year, dire Y2K warnings predicted computers would malfunction, causing airplanes to fall from the sky, trains to collide, banks to fail, and nuclear reactors to spew radioactive fallout, obliterating all life on the planet. Jake, a journalism professor and former senior editor at a major news magazine, had cast a dubious eye on the wild projections of Y2K havoc that prompted otherwise sane people to accumulate a 2-month supply of cash, bottled water, medicine, tinned food, and generators. But he'd backed up his computer's hard drive just in case. As a freelance travel writer, I'd pitched a tongue-in-cheek piece on avoiding trips over the New Year's holiday, particularly those involving air travel, that saw print as a hoary checklist of emergency supplies to pack, and an admonition to keep an eye on breaking news. First reports of Y2K disasters would probably come from New Zealand. Then what? Jake grunted incredulously when I showed him my published travel feature. Duck and cover. My editor's 2 cents worth, but at least I got her to take out the part about filling a bathtub with drinking water. I'd backed up my hard drive, too, and took the added precaution of printing out a draft of a book due to my publisher the following week. September Girl, a novel about a woman who finds unexpected romance later in life, was a significant departure from my light-hearted mystery series, featuring a travel writer who solved crimes, primarily murder, in scenic locales. I was nervous enough about the book's reception, but the specter of losing all I'd written and having to begin again was a stomach-churning nightmare I couldn't face. I also sensibly invested in a box of Maison du Chocolat and a fine vintage champagne to see us through the doomsday forecast. Meanwhile, a bottle of red, accompanying slow-cooked comfort food, braised short ribs for Jake, coca vin for me, and a plate of profiterole to share, in a restaurant that had remained unchanged since before JFK was elected, was an ideal way to spend the century's waning hours. After dinner, we walked home to my old garden apartment, now our pied-à-terre in New York. Wrapped in each other's arms, we stood in the snow-covered backyard, toasting the new year at the stroke of midnight. If Earth survived the dawn of the new millennium with no disruption, we'd drive back to our home in Connecticut the following morning, and life would go on. It did. On New Year's Day, the coffee maker worked, the New York Times was on the doorstep, and the young couple in the apartment next door welcomed home Justin, their firstborn, a brown-eyed baby boy with a pair of robust lungs. We returned to our cottage in the wooded field.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?